verses 8 through 9 we're going to take a look at here. Oh, we're going to continue moving forward here with this powerful topic of spiritual warfare. Anybody feel spiritual warfare coming here this morning? Oh, yeah. How many of you slept horrible last night? We both did, too. I know we're hitting a bullseye in the spirit when you're starting to get some warfare. It's not always a negative sign. It's a positive sign. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now go back with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And I'm going to start with verse 34 through 40. Hallelujah, I feel the anointing. That praise and worship was amazing today, wasn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. And Jesus said these words. He said, well, it says, but when the Pharisees, he's about to say these words, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Those two things. If you're doing those two things, you're right smack in the middle of the will of God. Isn't that good to know? But teaching is this. Teaching is showing you all the things that fall under those things. Amen? It breaks it down even more. Today I want to continue talking about the topic of spiritual warfare. The title of my message, as some of you have seen online and through text, it's called Spiritual Warfare in Relationships. Spiritual Warfare in Relationships. Relationships are a part of our everyday life. Amen? And they are crucial to living, listen to me, a fulfilling and powerful life on this earth. Now, I'm talking about relationships on every level. I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm not just talking about marriage, although I'm going to touch on some of those points. But I'm talking about relationships on every level in our life. Amen? Every relationship in our life is meant to be fulfilling and meaningful. Each relationship is meant to have purpose in our life. Amen? It's not just a waste of time. Our communication and interaction with every person should be motivated and filled with love. Do you agree with that? Yes. Now, let me just, I'm jumping right in the deep end this morning real quick, and then I'm going to get back to, but I want to throw this in there. One of the most common forms of abuse that kills relationships is verbal abuse. Say verbal abuse. Spoken words impact people either in a negative or a positive way. It's not only what is being spoken, it's how it's being spoken or how it's being delivered. Would you agree with that? Yes. The Word of God reveals that there's life and death in the power. That word power literally means in the authority of the tongue. Authority to bless, authority to curse. And you better be using it in the right way. Amen? To bless. Be very careful what you say and how you say it. Spoken words have destroyed many relationships in people's lives. It has destroyed many marriages. Amen? The most common influence, don't forget this. Here we go, jumping right into the spiritual warfare thing. The most common influence that demons want to control in your life and control in your relationships is this. Ready? Your tongue. Your tongue. Don't let the devil control your tongue. Don't give in to that influence. Spoken words have the power to draw people to you, and it has the power to push people away from you. Go with me to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Check this out. Proverbs 18:24. And it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The first thing that will reveal if you're friendly or not is your spoken words to a person. Did you just hear what I said? And attached to that is your attitude or your demeanor behind those spoken words. That's why I said it matters not only what you say, but how you deliver it to somebody. Now, here we go. There are friends in our lives, right? And there are acquaintances. Say friends. Acquaintances. Now, an acquaintance is defined as this. Ready? Someone you know slightly. Someone you know slightly. It's someone that you might be around on a regular basis, but you really don't know them. And, come on, they really don't add any value to your life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You're around them, but they're not really doing much for you, right? There's not that friendship connection. It's someone you know, such as a coworker, someone you've been around. You have to be around. Yeah, that's it. Someone you're forced to be around. Friends you choose. Acquaintances, probably not. You got to put on the face. You understand what I'm saying? You're friendly with each other, but the relationship is not at that friend level. Listen, a friend, say friend, impacts your life in a positive way. They are there for you through the good times and through the bad times. Thank God for good friends. Amen. There is a deep emotional bond or connection of love on that friendship level. Someone you can trust, someone you can confide in, someone, let's just put it this way, someone you feel safe around. Isn't that good to have those kind of friends? Someone where you're not always looking behind you to see if they put a knife in your back. Are you following me? Someone you feel safe around, who's got your back. But listen to me. Now let me jump into the marriage part and minister to someone right now who is or isn't married. It's for those two. If you're married, your best friend apart from the Lord Jesus Christ should be your spouse. Did you just hear what I said? That is how God designed marriage. That is the perfect will of God. They should be your best friend. In fact, if you are in a relationship right now and desiring to be in one, make sure that you first and foremost become best friends. Marriage should be this is what the Holy Spirit said to write down. You ready for this? Marriage, it should be a smooth transition from best friend to spouse. Someone says, how do I know if I should marry this person? And I'll say, are you best friends with them? Well, no. Do you put another person ahead of that person? Don't get married then. Don't do it until you're at that best friend level. Amen? If you're not even on that friendship level of trust or emotional connection, really, they don't deserve to be your spouse. And it will lead to, listen to me, an unfulfilled marriage. Now, here we go. Now someone says, oh, what if I'm married and that's us right now? Rats. I got hope for you. Here we go. If you're currently in a marriage that doesn't have that bond or connection on that friendship level, you both then have some major work to do. And it needs to happen fast. It needs to happen fast before the marriage is destroyed beyond repair. Are you hearing me? All right. Here's what will happen. Marriages where you don't have that best friend in your spouse, you will always try to seek that connection from someone else other than your spouse in your life. Oh, I mean, I know, I'm getting right down to the ground level here. Now, when I say beyond repair, listen to me. I'm talking about the free will of a person. Here's the good news. Say, tell me the good news, please. I'm talking about the free will of a person, not God's ability to heal a marriage. What I'm saying is that God can absolutely heal the marriage and establish that connection. But here's what it takes. It takes the cooperation of both spouses, the husband and the wife. It takes both of them to say, yes, I want to get to that point. If even one of them is out of that, forget about it. Say, it takes two to make a thing go right. Oh, my 90s friends, you understand that. You remember that song? It takes two to make a thing go right. Come on. Rob Bass, DJ Easy Rock. Is there anybody in the house today? No. Go with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Hallelujah. It takes two to make a thing go right. He ain't lying. So as long as both of your wills are into it, okay, right now things aren't perfect. Okay, right now it feels like the marriage is a bondage. But you know what? If you guys say, look, I want to work on this. I want to be your best friend. I want to be your best friend. Boom, then we got some dynamite to work with. Amen? Jeremiah 29:11. And it says these words, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, this verse, I mean, it's a very popular passage, right? We hear it all the time. This verse reveals the heartbeat of God for every person that comes in to this earth. Did you know that? There is not one person on this earth that is not special in the eyes of God. Come on, whether they are family, close to you, not close to you, or, come on, even your enemy, they're special to God. Their soul is special to God. Oh, you're going to love where I'm going with this. This verse reveals that God has a perfect plan for every person, but that plan will only be fulfilled if that person's cooperation and willingness is in it, and they choose to follow and make decisions for that perfect plan of God. Be very aware of this. The enemy is always trying to divert you and I, to steer us away from the perfect will of God for our life. That's the first thing you got to understand. The enemy's always trying to influence you and I to pull us off of the highway of the perfect will of God. One thing that the enemy will try to do in a relationship, ready for this? Listen to this. You may have never even thought about this before, but that's why you pay me the big bucks. Ready? Here we go. One thing the enemy will try to do in a relationship is this, is to negatively influence you to devalue that person. Did you just hear what I said? The enemy will always try in a relationship, any relationship you have, any meaningful relationship that you have, he's trying to get in and influence you to devalue that other person. All right. If Satan, demons, and the kingdom of darkness can negatively influence you to devalue human life, to devalue a person, then it opens up a whole can of evil, doesn't it? That becomes acceptable. Well, that's how we got into abortion in this country and world, right? That's why people murder other people. That's why people lie and cheat. That's why people take advantage of other people. Why? Because there's a devaluing of human life. So just keep in mind, the enemy will always try to get you to devalue that person, okay? The goal of the enemy is first and foremost to influence you and I to devalue that human life and that specific relationship connection. The enemy's after that special bond or connection that had purpose in your life. You'll see in a moment why. If the enemy succeeds in doing that, if he can get you, if they can get you to devalue human life, devalue a person, however they may do it, it's a downward spiral from that point in a relationship. Isn't that kind of what happens in a marriage when a marriage starts going down the tubes? You start to devalue them. Who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? Blah, 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 right? There's a devaluing. Say devalue. Devalue. Relationships are so important that after God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, all right, he said it was not good for man to be alone, and then God created Eve. Amen? Now, here's what you got to understand. Someone's saying, oh, okay, he's talking about marriage again. No, no, no. You got to understand this. That wasn't just a husband and wife relationship. It was a divine connection. Say divine connection. It was also a divine friendship. It was a divine, come on, companionship, say companionship, to fill a spiritual and an emotional void in Adam's life. With fulfilling and meaningful time spent together, with a bond, with a connection, to uplift each other, to be best friends, to, come on, value each other, and to help each other. Don't just look at Adam and Eve's story account as husband and wife. It goes much deeper than that. It's a divine bond and connection, all right? The enemy wants to isolate humans from each other. And if he can't influence or prevent that from happening, then the next best thing is he's going to try to destroy every relationship in your life, to make each relationship as miserable and as stressful as possible. Are you hearing me? You awake this morning? Let's talk a little bit about this part of spiritual warfare in relationships. Loneliness. Say loneliness. Listen to this. Loneliness is defined as sadness because one has no friends or company. I want you to notice it separates friends from company. But listen to me. Are you ready for this truth bomb? Someone can still feel lonely with a lot of people around them. A spouse can feel lonely in the same house as someone else. Are you following me? If that marriage or relationship is out of order, all right? So you can feel loneliness if those relationships are out of divine order, all right? They're not, it becomes not meaningful. It's a devaluing, and that's when loneliness can creep in. That's why, have you ever heard famous celebrities? Famous celebrities say, man, I have people around me all the time. I have all the men, all the women that I want, but I'm lonely and miserable. You ever hear someone say that? Why? Because they are not fulfilling and meaningful relationships. They are out of God's divine order. Someone is always just wanting something from them, and it's empty and it's draining. There's nothing meaningful. They might have many acquaintances, but not many true friends. So it doesn't matter. Loneliness can attack you if you have tons of people around you all the time. So it's very safe to say this. Just because a lot of people are in your life does not mean that guards or protects you from loneliness. Just like having a lot of money and a lot of worldly stuff does not guarantee joyful or a fulfilling life. Amen? All right. Now, so the real questions then are these. Are you in the will of God for your life? Are you living your life according to God's divine order? Are you, here it is, ready for this? Are you surrounding yourself with the right people in your life? Those are the questions that you really need to be asking. The Holy Spirit led me to look up loneliness. Listen, this is what the Holy Spirit told me to search on Google. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit can use Google. He can instruct and lead to use Google. He instructed me to look up this, loneliness in connection to the human lifespan. Loneliness in connection to the human lifespan. After I saw what it pulled up, I know why Satan and demons try to negatively influence relationships with other people in our lives. Why they try to isolate us. Remember, real quick, before I get into it, in John 10:10, Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Loneliness and feeling isolated from healthy relationships are a part of the enemy's evil plan to destroy mankind. Did you just hear what I said? Loneliness and feeling isolated. Has anybody ever felt lonely and isolated before? Lonely and feeling isolated from healthy relationships are a part of the evil plan of the enemy to destroy mankind. The Word of God reveals this. Remember I talked about this, was it last week or a couple weeks ago? I don't know, what did I eat for dinner last night, right? But you'll remember when I talk about it. The Word of God reveals the demoniac of Gadara in Mark 5. He was influenced by demons to isolate himself from people. to pull himself out of society, away from people, away from meaningful relationships. And the demons led him, influenced him to live in a cemetery. He was violent, he was naked, and he was barking like a dog in there. Doing those things would keep people away from you. Wouldn't you say that would probably do the trick, right? Probably. The goal of the demons was to keep that man isolated from others so it could keep him in bondage and ultimately finish him off by destroying his life. Now, here we go. A sure sign that demons are at work in a person's life is that they withdraw from people. They always want to be alone. They're consistently depressed or in some kind of an emotional bondage. Are you following me? There's no desire outside contact with other people. You know, and here's what I want to tell you. Here's why that creates a depression. Ready? Because God didn't create us that way. Now let's get into what Google said. Listen to what Google said about loneliness in connection to the human lifespan and the quality of life. Ready? This is exactly what I typed it word for word. It says, research indicates that chronic loneliness or consistent loneliness is associated with various health issues, including increased risk of cardiovascular disease, weakened immune function, and mental health disorders. Studies suggest that loneliness can be as harmful, listen to me, as smoking 15 cigarettes a day in terms of its impact on mortality risk. And then, I ain't done, one more line, ready? It continued to say this, loneliness can lead to depression, anxiety, stress, ready? Which may contribute to a physical health decline. Now you tell me, is it the will of God for us as humans to isolate ourselves? Maintaining strong social ties. Oh, here it said this too. Maintaining strong social ties is crucial for mental and physical well-being, potentially enhancing longevity. Man, that's amazing. Isn't it amazing how God wired us? Can you see why the enemy tries to isolate us? Could this be, listen to me, could it be the reason that God commands us in Hebrews 10:25, ready? To not forsake the assembly of ourselves together and to encourage one another as Christians. Getting connected to and attending a local church on a regular basis then is good for your health emotionally and physically and spiritually. There's a whole bunch of reasons. God's just not saying get together for no reason. It's literally good for every part of our health. Amen? So let me ask you this. Who do you think knows these facts and negative impacts on human emotional and physical health and takes advantage of it? Who do you think knows all that better than we do? The enemy. The enemy. The enemy, the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you this. Are you ready? The enemy is attacking us as Christians and humans in ways that we're not even considering. Did you just hear what I said? The enemy is trying to influence us in ways that we're not even aware of what he's doing. Why? He's sly, isn't he? He's sly. Again, I want to reemphasize the fact that it's not necessarily how many people you're around. It's the fulfilling and the meaningful communication and interaction of those in your life. The spiritual and emotional bond. Say spiritual and emotional bond. We all need people in our life to speak words of life to us, don't we? We all do. When we're discouraged, when we're emotionally in a horrible, bad, dark place, people we can turn to for love and support. People who if you messed up, you fell into a deep, dark sin. People that you feel safe around, that you can run to and talk to, that aren't going to, come on, shame you. You know, there's a lot of backslidden Christians that aren't coming back because someone Christian has shamed them instead of allowing them just to talk openly. It can make all the difference between moving forward in life and giving up in life. Let us not be the reason someone gives up on life. Let us be the reason that we breathe new life into them. Amen? We encourage them. No matter how dark it is, no matter how dark their sin was, what did they do? The Word of God says that you who are spiritual, in a spiritual mindset, you know what it says? Restore the one that's out of place, out of order. We always got to have a mindset of restoration, not condemnation. That's where you need to stay connected to the heart of the Father. Amen? Amen. So you must understand this very important point. We were created and spiritually, come on, and emotionally wired by God, our Creator, to give and receive love. If that isn't happening, we are out of God's divine order, and it's negatively affecting us in our life. Whether you know it or not, it's negatively affecting you in your life. The kingdom of darkness is constantly trying to influence us, again, to stay outside of God's divine order or outside of the will of God. Outside, you could say it this way. I like saying it this way. The enemy's trying to influence to stay outside of what we were created and wired to do. You were wired in a specific way. Do you know that? You and I, we were wired in a specific way. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy. I feel like I'm really hitting a bullseye in the spirit here. Amen. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Very popular passage about the end times. All right. But I want to pull something out that I'm going to say you probably haven't really thought about before. All right. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It says, but know this, that in the last days, say last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Oh, listen, I read this when the Holy Spirit led me to this. All of a sudden, something just illuminated to me. Number one, I want you to notice something very important in this passage. Every point that's given in that passage, every point, is connected to relationships in our life, one way or the other. Did you just hear what I said? Go through and read it again on your own. Every point, every negative point is in connection to relationships somehow, some way. The Holy Spirit is giving us inside information. He's given us a heads up of what the kingdom of darkness is going to try to influence us with. The Holy Spirit is really doing this. He's showing us the devil's playbook. Don't you love when the Holy Spirit exposes the enemy and the playbook? The Holy Spirit's trying to say, hey, I'm going to show you something that the enemy's going to try to get you into so you can be aware and alert not to fall into this thing or these things, right? So the Holy Spirit is warning us that in these last days, as the return of Jesus gets closer and closer, how many of you know Jesus is coming back? Amen. As it's getting closer and closer, there will be, are you ready for this? There will be a weakening of relationships among people. Relationships of every kind. Every kind. Even among Christians. There's going to be a weakening of relationships. Many would say this, if you ask them why is there a weakening? And many would say this, ready? Here's a revelation the Holy Spirit's given me I want to jump into. Many would say, well, there's just no love, right? But it's deeper than that. When I read this, it jumped out at me. The right question is this. The right question to ask is this. Where did that love go? I said, the right question is, where did that love go? I believe the main answer is found in one point that was given in that passage. Are you ready for this? Why will relationships be weakened? Why would people fall into that stuff? Here's why. You ready? People will become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Did you just hear what I said? People will become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So I want you, here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. There's still love active in the equation, but the love got transferred from God to worldliness. Did you see that? It's not an absence of love. Love is always active. It's a spiritual law. It's a matter of where is that love set upon? Oh, come on. I got more excited than you did over that. You know what? When you get your own revelation, you get more fired up than the one speaking it. But just meditate on it through the week. And listen, and because that person's love got transferred to something else other than God, which is what? Idolatry, the sin of idolatry. Here's what happened. It took away all restraints to sin. It devalued human life. It devalued relationships within that person's heart. It took away all restraints to unrighteousness. So the main problem is not just an absence of love problem. It's a problem of where that love is placed upon. These people placed it on the flesh, the world, and self. So you could say it this way, ready? It's misplaced love. The downfall in any relationship, any marriage, any relationship in your life, ready? Is misplaced love. Isn't that true? When a husband or a wife fall away from a marriage or something like that, they took their love that was supposed to be on their spouse and they placed it on other things. Maybe hunting. Oh, I can't be saying that this morning. I can't be saying that this morning, can I? You know, you get my point though, right? I'm not saying you can't go hunting. Just don't put it above your spouse, right? Get their permission. No. Just kidding. But the downfall of any relationship is misplaced love. So here's what you got to understand. Ready? This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. Love is always active in our life. It's always active. The question is, what is it set upon? Jesus said, okay, let me give you a scripture to prove that point. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either love one or hate the other. So love is still active, but it's misplaced love. Come on, somebody. Just like faith is constantly active in our life. The question is, what are you believing? Are you believing the Word of God or not the Word of God? Amen? So if you will maintain your focus, love, and priority on your relationship with God, your Creator, and the Lord Jesus Christ, it will keep you in the proper mindset from falling into sin and those negative characteristics in a relationship. But you got to put God first. That's why a threefold cord is not easily broken in a marriage. God and the two spouses. Keep God at the head. You guys stay focused on God, and then it's going to come on. It takes three to make a thing go right in a marriage. Amen? That's the James Rant version. Now, so listen to this. We have been spiritually wired. We were created to have fellowship, to have close and intimate relationship with our Creator God. You agree with that? Just because the fall of man has happened in the Garden of Eden and it released a curse and a lot of bad things on this earth does not mean that God has changed how he spiritually and emotionally wired us. Amen? That never changed. The wiring never changed. We must choose to do righteousness. We must choose the right thing. Amen? every command to love, every command to forgive, every command to encourage and uplift others, every command to give to others and help them, to think of others before ourselves. Ready? Is God revealing to us how he wired us? That's how he wired. He wired us to walk in love. Amen? How to live a life of peace, how to live a life of joy. That's how he intended it in the first place. Now, through Christ, we can get back to that place and we can choose righteousness because that sin nature in our spirit is gone. But you got to renew your mind so your mind lines up with your born-again spirit. Amen. There needs to be a renewing of the mind. The enemy is constantly trying to influence us to make decisions and to do things. Come on, listen to me. That will short circuit that divine wiring from our Creator. The enemy always is trying to short circuit he's trying to get us to make decisions that will short circuit and pull us in the wrong direction. The very first relationship, the most important relationship that you need to be on guard about, that you need to protect in your life, in your Christian walk, is your relationship with your Heavenly Father. If that's not there, everything else is a mess and out of order. Right from the beginning, Lucifer, Satan, tried to put doubt in Eve's mind to question God's commands not to eat of the forbidden tree. All right? Make no mistake, Satan and the entire kingdom of darkness are very deceptive. They're very smooth-talking spiritual beings that can be very persuasive in the life of a human if you're not paying attention. That's why 1 Peter 5 said, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be on the lookout for this smooth-talking snake. Are you following me? Because in other words, if you're not sober, if you're not vigilant, if you're not aware, if you're not paying attention, you could easily slide into their trap. That's what the Holy Spirit's really trying to say. And so, and honestly, here's the part that the enemy somewhat has an advantage over humankind. Ready? Honestly, it doesn't take much persuading from the enemy when a person is in a fleshly mindset. When a person is focusing on their fleshly desires, their selfish, their worldly mindset. It's like taking candy from a baby. Are you following me? It's real easy. All the enemy is doing is giving a person fleshly, worldly, sinful ideas that are rooted in everything and anything apart from the Word of God. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to put that desire. He's trying to tickle your flesh. He's trying to awaken things, right? Like watching TV, seeing things on TV. That's going to arouse some things that shouldn't be aroused on the inside of you. Amen? Don't do it. All the enemy is trying to do, he's trying to stir that up. It takes us being in a spiritual mindset, being alert, focusing, meditating on the Word, and having knowledge of the Word of God in connection to the fear of the Lord. Say, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. That's reverence for him in our life, all right? That's respect for him, all right? To choose righteousness, you're putting him first. To choose to do the right thing in the eyes of God. You don't want to disappoint God. That's what the fear of the Lord is, amen? So don't, I say this all the time, I love it. Ready? Don't give the devil a stick to beat you with. Don't give the devil a stick to beat you with, all right, to get an advantage over you. What we're trying to do as a local church, what I'm trying to do as a pastor, is to disciple you, trying to train you, trying to teach you, equip you to be aware, to be sober, to be vigilant of what the enemy's trying to do and what God wants you to do. Amen? All right. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If a lack of knowledge in the Word of God can cause destruction, then knowledge of the Word of God can be our protection from destruction. Amen? Sometimes you just got to look at the opposite thing and it makes sense. Amen? So the enemy will always try to put a question mark behind the commands of God instead of an exclamation mark or a period. That's all he did. That's why what he did to Eve. Did God not say? Well, devil, you know what he said. Right? Satan and demons are always trying to put confusion, trying to put doubt in your thought process about God and his written word, right? Oh, you're never going to be healed. Come on, what are you doing? You see, this is what the enemy tries to throw into people, right? Satan, demons, and the entire kingdom of darkness, listen to me, ready? Are the ultimate gaslighters and narcissists. Some of you noticed my post on Facebook this week about relationships and narcissism and all that. Now you can see why I posted those things. Everything has to do with this, right? But the enemy is full of pride and are trying to separate you from your faith in God and his word. They're trying to disconnect you and I from our most important relationship, and that's with our Heavenly Father, amen? If they can do that, if the enemy is successful in doing that, if they can influence you to do that, they can gain entry into your life and cause destruction. It's that simple. It's that simple. Again, the enemy's goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy every area of your life, and that includes every relationship, meaningful, good, that's supposed to be good, relationship in your life. Now, the final point I want to make before we close this out, the final point I want to make in connection to spiritual warfare and relationships, particularly in connection to our relationships with each other in the body of Christ, is this. Are you ready? Satan and demons and the entire kingdom of darkness, they are trying to destroy and separate relationships in the body of Christ to prevent and hinder the power of spiritual agreement and unity. Yep. It's that simple. It's that simple. They're trying to prevent and hinder and short circuit that power of agreement and unity. Go with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 18, verse 20. That's it. If the enemy's trying to come against and destroy something, that's a pretty good clue that there's power and anointing on it. Come on, somebody. We got to be alert of this. Quit falling into this trap. Amen? Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Notice that what takes place in heaven first happens on earth. So everything we're doing on earth affects what's being released or bound in heaven. Verse 19, "Again, I say to you," and that includes relationships, "again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." That is talking about agreement. That is talking about unity. That's talking about one heart. Many people, one heart, one mind. Jesus makes it very clear that if there is agreement, it's powerful. Unity and agreement, they are spiritual laws, and they can be used for good or evil. They need to be used for good. But one example of it being used for evil is the Tower of Babel, right? There is agreement for the wrong thing, right? We don't want that. We want to do the right thing. Satan, demons, and the entire kingdom of darkness are constantly trying to break and prevent agreement and unity from forming, come on, in godly relationships. While promoting ungodly relationships. There's two wheels going on here. The enemy's trying to cut off godly relationships, but he's promoting ungodly relationships. That's why you gotta notice the difference, and you gotta take, you know, be honest with yourself. Is this relationship with this person, is it based on godliness or ungodliness? And man, oh man. Is this relationship trying to tear me down, or is it building me up? Is it bringing me closer to the Lord, or is it pulling me back? These are things that you have to ask yourself. The enemy knows that we are stronger and more effective for God when there is agreement and unity among us. Psalm 133 says that God commands his blessing. The anointing runs down. He doesn't just bless it. It says he commands his blessing. So why are we not trying to seek unity with each other like never before? Amen? We as Christians must be on high alert to be able to spot signs of division and the breaking down of godly relationships. We need to. If you can't spot that, you're spiritually in a blind place right now. Amen? All right. So, one tactic of the enemy among Christians to sow division is jealousy. Say jealousy. That began all the way back with Cain and Abel. Abel was in the will of God. Cain wasn't. Cain didn't like it. Guess what, though? Cain could have done the right thing. Cain could have done the right thing, but he chose to do his own way, not what God said to do. And it caused a jealousy, and Cain killed Abel. All right? We got to be very careful of jealousy. It can run like a wildfire through churches, through the body of Christ, through godly relationships. Agreement and unity, remember this, begin at the heart level. Agreement and unity create, don't forget this, it creates spiritual power. How many of you want to walk in the power of God, spiritual power? Then you need to find meaningful godly relationships, all right, that are formed based on the Lord and on the Word of God, and get together, pray together, you know, all these things, all right? The enemy knows that if Christians stay in true agreement with each other, that we will be unstoppable in advancing the kingdom of God and the will of God, all right? Have you ever noticed, as I'm closing out here, have you noticed that the world is getting crazier and crazier and eviler every day? Have you noticed that? Anybody? I mean, just crazy things, you know? Turn on the news, watch what's happening in New York City, Seattle, all these liberal areas, right? It seems that more and more people are doing things that we never thought we would see happen. It's almost like this. This is the only way I can say it. It's almost like people are in zombie mode. You understand what I'm saying? Like, how can they not see the ridiculousness of this stuff, right? I mean, it's unbelievable. There seems to be an agreement or a unity in the world among the unsaved for crazy things, even crazy political things going on. Amen? The kingdom of darkness, here's what's going on. Ready? The kingdom of darkness is strategically setting an agreement and a unity among unbelievers, come on, and backslidden Christians for the entrance of the Antichrist to come on the scene. Are you hearing me? Have you read the end of the book? There's people, a lot of people that actually follow this guy, the Antichrist. That's what we're starting to see here. That's how New York City could elect someone. Come on, somebody. You know where I'm going. After 9/11. So the enemy is strategically setting up an agreement, a unity, almost like zombie-like people that are going to just follow the Antichrist, no problem. That's what you're seeing. This is end-time stuff you're seeing. This is the book of Revelation starting to unfold. Amen? A unity of deception and spiritual blindness. Don't fall into it. All right? It says that some of the elect, that it's possible the elect could even fall into deception. Don't do it. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be sober. Your adversary, the devil, roams about seeking whom he what? May devour. Who gives him an open door. All right? He just can't devour anyone. So there needs to be an open door. Don't give that door to him. So have you noticed there's more unity and agreement in cults and false religions than there is the body of Christ, right? Yeah. Well, whatever, over 1,000 denominations in the body of Christ, we're bickering and arguing, while all these cults have just flawless unity. That's because our agreement and unity in the body of Christ are under attack. Relationships are under attack. Many are given place to the devil. Real quick, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians, my last passage or last verse. 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I want to show you something here. I want to show you the heartbeat of God on this. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Look what the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul here in verse 10. This is the heartbeat of God. Now I plead with you, brethren, Christians, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And that's based on the word of God. With every topic out there that Christians are bickering about, there's one truth. Did you just hear what I said? With whatever it is, tongues. Oh, tongues are of the devil. No, tongues are of God. Someone's right, someone's wrong. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, not everyone needs it. Yeah, God wants everyone to have it. Someone's right, someone's wrong. Are you following me? Yeah. The will of God is for us Christians to be of one mind, one heart, in agreement and unity, to believe, to speak the same thing based on the written word of God. The devil's fingerprints and influence are all over the division in the body of Christ, and it weakens our influence as Christians on this earth. Did you just hear what I said? It weakens us. The world looks at us, and they think, you guys don't even have it together. There's all these different beliefs, right? Like, how can a Christian fall into who once believed that the power of God flows? Now they're listening to preachers and reading books of preachers that believe in cessationism, which means the power of God stopped for today when the last apostle died. How does that even happen? I'll tell you how. They're letting the devil and demons get in their thought life. They gave place to it. God anoints and commands his blessing on unity. Agreement and unity based on him and his written word, the Bible. All right, church, we need to be more aware and mindful that the enemy is constantly trying to attack our relationships, seeking whom he may devour. It's time to get into the word of God and put the commands and the instructions from our creator into action in our life. And with how we treat and interact with people in our life, whether they're family or not, amen. Always keep this in mind. The Holy Spirit is constantly watching us. And that includes he's watching every relationship we have. Let's work on building healthy, strong, and godly relationships in our life that will advance the kingdom of God on this earth. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone in this place you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. The Bible says, not James, the Bible says you're still a child of the devil. If you want to become a child of God today and know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life right now, that if you took your last breath, you fell dead right now in this place, that you knew that you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for eternity. If you never made Jesus Lord of your life and you want to, come on down right now. I highly encourage it, because now you can say, Pastor James never told me. Yeah, I did. I gave you an opportunity. Number two, if this message really hit hard at you, it may be in your marriage, in some kind of a relationship in your life, you recognize now the enemy at work. You were blind to it. You weren't aware. You fell into confusion. But today, you recognize it, and this message really impacted you. Come down to the altar. And just tell the prayer partner, just say, I want you to pray for me. This message really impacted me, and I want to be more alert, and I want to be in the will of God. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. If you need prayer for anything else, just come on down. Now, my last thing I want to say, next week after service, immediately after service at Biagio's, is the LWC Volunteers Appreciation Lunch. So if you volunteer in any area of this church, there's a sign-up sheet right on that back table. If your name's not on there, you're not going, because we got to give a head count to Biagio's. So make sure you walk right back there, pick up that pen, put some ink on there if that's you. All right, I love you all. Visitors, thank you so much for coming today. Meditate on this word, amen? Don't let the devil get in your relationships anymore. God bless you all. Have a great week, everyone.